Let's open our Bibles together, please. We open in the book of Psalms, in the Psalm 37. And we turn to verse number 16. Psalm 37, verse 16. Can I thank you for the encouragement that you have been to God's work over the summer period, the vacation time. And we pray that God will continue to bless us as we labor together. Thank you for encouraging those that ministered Sunday by Sunday during my absence. Also, I'd like to congratulate those of our young people who have gone through their examinations and got the results. We pray that God will bless you as you would make your decisions for the rest of your life and your education, that God will guide you, that the Lord will uphold you, and the Lord will show you the next step. Seek the Lord's face for that, and seek the Lord's guidance. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's what Saul just saved, asked the Lord, and I think that's a tremendous thing to bring the Lord into all of those decisions. Verse number 16, the little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. And let's just pray now and ask God to bless his word to our hearts. Heavenly Father, as a family of God, we gather around thy precious word. We thank thee for everyone today that can truly say, I am his and he is mine. Thank thee for everyone that's saved, washed in the blood of Jesus. And we pray for any today that know not Christ. O Spirit of the living God, awaken those who are dead in their trespasses and sin. Enlighten their minds and hearts, and by thy Holy Spirit, draw them to the Savior. Bring them to thyself. Bless us now as we have read thy word and as we meditate upon it. Lord, we pray, open up the scriptures to our hearts. And open up our hearts to the scriptures. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Today I want us to continue our study in the 37th Psalm. Before my vacation, we were prayerfully considering some of the verses here in this passage of God's word, mainly verse number 23. And in these verses 23 to I suppose down to verse number 27, we could say that we have the course of the child of God. We've looked at the commands to the child of God. We've looked at the comparisons with the child of God, and we're looking now at the course of the child of God. And I believe as we look at these verses here, verses 23 to 27, we have indeed an encouragement for God's people, for God's children. And we do need encouragement. Notice what it says here in verse 23. And the last time we were together, we were looking at the opening words in verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And of course, we spoke about what does it mean, a good man. The Word of God says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so therefore, how could there be steps of a good man if there is none good, no, not one? But we are not speaking about the natural man goodness. We are speaking about the spiritual man's goodness. And that good man is one who finds his goodness in and from the Lord as the result of faith in Christ. And goodness, of course, is a fruit of the Spirit of God in the lives of God's people. Now, what does God say about the course of this good man? The Bible tells us many things. First of all, the course of a good man is purposed, or it is purposeful. You notice what the Bible says in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And the word ordered there means to be established. The steps of a good man are established by the Lord. You see, the child of God, our life is not determined by chance, or it is not determined by fate. But thank God, our lives, the life of a good man or a good woman, is ordered or established or directed by the Lord. I don't believe in the determination of fate. I believe in the sovereign direction and guidance of the Lord. Every one of us need guidance. We sang this morning the hymn, I Need Thee. Oh, I need thee. And when I was singing that from my heart. I was making an open confession without apology to the Lord today and before God's people. I need the Lord. I need thee every hour. I need you, Lord, to guide me every hour. There's not a day, there's not an hour of my life that I don't need the guidance of the Lord. But thank God, God guides his people, and he guides them along the course that God has set for us. I believe that God has determined in his sovereign choice a course for the people of God to run. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning, Paul's testimony to and challenge to young Timothy before he died. He made the charge, he said to Timothy, he says, I charge thee before God. He said, listen, I want you, young Timothy, I want you to preach the word. He was his son in the faith. He said, I want you to preach the word. I want you to preach it in season, out of season. I want you to reprove. I want you to rebuke. I want you to exhort. I want you to do it with all long-suffering and with doctrine. Because the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. But he says, continue thou in all things. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. And then he looked back over his own life after, as he's looking forward and he's handing over, as it were, the mantle and the torch to this young man to take on the work. And he said to him, you know, I look back over my life. And he said, you know, I have fought a good fight. And he said, I finished the course. I finished the course. See, Paul knew that he was going to die very shortly. He's going to die for his testimony for Jesus. He's going to lay down his life for the master's sake. But thank God there's no regrets. He says, henceforth me a crown of righteousness. You know, it's wonderful when you look back over your life, friend. And when you review the past and you come to the end of the journey and can say, I sought under God to run the race that God set before me. Let me tell you, my friend, young people, that's the only life worth living. Some of you thinking about the future. Some of you planning about what you're going to do. That's why I urge you this morning, bring the Lord right into it now.
Before you make that decision, make it the Lord's decision. Let it be the Lord's decision. Don't you make the decision and say, God, I want you to put your stamp of approval upon my decision. No, make it the Lord's decision. You've only one life, friend. Only one life, and it will soon be passed. And it's only what's done for Christ is going to last. You know, we want to hear the Lord say on that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And Paul had done what God had laid out for him. Is that what you're wanting to do? Are you wanting to do what God wants you to do? Are you wanting to be what God wants you to be? Thank God he had run well. He had run the course. I noticed the wee word he said, I've finished the course. And friend, that's very important, to finish the course well. Because there are those who quit halfway. And they don't finish the course. They can't say, I finished. But they have to say, I failed. Don't, friend, live with regret. Not having run the race that God wants you to run. Notice it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Notice that, because it's not only purposeful, ordered by the Lord, but it is progressive. It says here, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when we think about steps, people taking steps, what are we talking about? We're talking about progression. We're talking about moving forward. The gradual progress of the good man is emphasized here by the words steps. Now I know that when you think of the word steps and you think about progress, steps, well, progress seems to be slow when you talk about it in steps. One step at a time. And friend, it's not talking about leaping forward here. It's not talking about leaps and bounds here. It's talking about the steps of a good man. Because you see, I believe that God's plan in our progress, and God saying to you and me in the end of the journey, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God's plan in our progress is not speed. It's steadiness. Oh, there's people start, and boy, they just go off with a spurt. And my, you couldn't stop them. You couldn't stop them. They're so full of zeal. And they want, my, even after they get saved and as a newborn babe, my, they want to take the world for Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. Zeal's a wonderful thing. You should never dampen zeal. I would to God we all had more zeal. But there's not only zeal, friend, there's also wisdom. And you need to be wise in your zeal. And you need to take your progress and your steps. You need to remember there needs to be a steadiness, because sad to say, many of those that start out with a spurt, where do you find them in a short time? They're out of breath. They're out of breath. I was just thinking, yesterday I was in the field in Limavady. I was talking to these lads, and I didn't realize that the time was going so quickly, and I was standing there talking to these folks, and then I said, I better get to the Macrofelt folks, because I'm sure it's time that they're going. I went up to where they were, but they weren't there. I saw this man standing there. I said, tell me, did you see the Macrofelt lodge going out? He says, yes. I said, number 4 district, that's the South Londonderry district. I said, did you see them? He says, he pointed to the other side of the field. He says, you see them folks going out through the gate? I says, I do. He says, that's the last of them. And Macrofelt was the first of 16 lodges. And so therefore, that was the 16th lodge going out, the last of them. Well, to tell you the truth, I can tell you I had to take big, long steps. I started to run, and I found out something. I can't. I can't run as you used to run. Cecil, I'll take you on sometime, because I think I could outrun you yet. But I can't run like I used to, and I must be honest. I would love to have taken it in leaps and bounds. But I'll tell you this, I got to them. I did. I got to them. And I did run, and I stopped, and I ran, and I stopped. And there was a young fella who was in the band, and he had missed it too. And I nearly outrun the young fella. But I got to him, and he got to them. And we sort of rejoiced together that we had got to them again. But you see, let me tell you, friend, it's not the big spurt and then out of breath. It's the steps of a good man. There needs to be a steadiness in your Christian life. And that's what we need among the people of God. We need God's people to be steadied. There are many of God's people that lose courage and they quit halfway. The Bible says the steps of a good man. You know, sometimes people want to know everything right away. The first day you start, you want God to reveal it all to you. That's not the way God does it, friend. God told Abraham to depart into a land. And God said to him, I said, arise and go. But God didn't give him the whole of the picture. He says, unto a land that I'll show you. But he didn't tell him where he's going. But I tell you this, Abram caught that day a heavenly vision. And he knew that this was of God. And it said that he went out not knowing whither he went, but he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose building and maker is God. He had his eyes upon the Lord, friend. And let me tell you this, God takes his children. What did he do with Abram? He took him step by step and he says, arise and go out of thy father's house into a land that I will show you. And friend, Abram went. And God showed him the next step. And step by step he took it with the Lord. You need to be willing to go with God, friend. You need a steadiness, the steps of a good man. You know, when God saved Saul of Tarsus on that Damascus road and God told him, arise and go, and he told him to go into a street called Straight, the Lord didn't show him everything at once. He just showed him a little. He revealed a little, friend, just little by little. He took him the first step. And it was only as he took the first step of faith, then he could take the next one. Step by step with the Lord. Listen, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You let the Lord establish your steps, brother, sister. I think of the words of Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. Listen, the steps of a good man, thank God they are purposeful. Thank God they are progressive. Notice what it also says here. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, because the steps of a good man, or the course of the child of God, is not only purposeful and progressive, it's pleasant. He delighteth in his way. Now, some question here in that statement as to whom the psalmist is speaking of. Is it the good man that delighteth in God's way? Or is it God that delighteth in the good man's way? Now, I have no doubt that the good man findeth the way of God pleasant. In the book of the Psalms, Psalm 40, it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And God's ways are pleasant. Thank God the way of God is a delightful way. Look at verse 4 of the same Psalm, Psalm 37. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And so therefore, whenever you're walking in the course that God wants you to walk, friend, you will find delight in the steps that God has laid out for you. But I don't necessarily believe that that's what the psalm is saying here in verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And I believe it's talking about the Lord delighting in us. In the way that we take. Why? Because the way that we have taken is the way that he has laid out for us. We're walking in obedience. And God not only loves his children, God delights in his children. And the reason why God delights in his children, it's not because their ways are perfect. But God is delighted with the steps that we take because we're taking them by faith. We're trusting him for the course that he has laid out for us. And we sang this morning, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And the pathway that we're walking in the steps of the good man that are ordered by God, friend, are steps of faith. And I believe that God delights in his children in walking the walk of faith. And God delights in us. And his banner over us is love. But then I notice something else here. Because when I go to the next verse of verse 24, in the finding the course of the child of God, not only is it purposeful, and not only is it progressive, not only is it pleasant, but friend, be honest, at times it is perilous. There are perils on the journey. There are dangers on the journey. And it says, though he fall. You know, God ordering our steps in our personal experience does not mean that the devil will never try to trip us up. It does not mean that the devil will not try to put obstacles in our way, that the devil will not try to hinder our progress. I know people that, friend, want to walk with God and run for God, friend. And you know, at times they get discouraged because there seems to be obstacles that the devil puts in our ways, and there are times that the devil trips us up. And we honestly have to confess, because the Bible says, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. It says, though he fall. That's what it says, verse 24. Though he fall. And I believe there's not one in this house of God today, looking back over their life, that has to confess. There have been times in my walk with God that I have stumbled and fallen. And friend, you say that not with pride, you say that with deep regret. Because there are things that come along the pathway of life that makes us fall. And therefore we need always to have our light, our path lit up before us, lest we fall. And of course that's why it's important that you be a student of the Word of God, because God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. And God's Word is the light unto our path. And what does a light do, friend? The light shows you the dangers. And as you read the Word of God, let me tell you, the Word of God is very open. The Word of God tells us about the dangers that the devil seeks to put in our pathway to make us fall. The Word of God says, your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, this is not for your discouragement, brother. It's an honest statement, though he fall. And I say sadly before God, there have been times I've fallen. The sun hasn't always been bright on every day that I could see. It always was bright because God's on the throne every day. But there have been days I've tripped up and the devil has tripped me up and I've fallen. And I've fallen on my face. And so have you, friend. Though he fall. And you can experience many setbacks. And maybe you're experiencing them today. Maybe they're material setbacks. Maybe they're financial setbacks. Maybe they're family setbacks. And if we could see through the window of your heart this morning, maybe you're hurting more deeply than anybody can see. Maybe this week you've fallen. The devil's tripped you up. And whenever the devil has tripped you up, he has pointed his accusing finger and said, and you're supposed to be the child of God. Read the verse, friend. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast out. Thank God there's encouragement here. And life can be rough. And life's experience, my friend, can deal you a hard blow. And you and I can be thrown to the ground in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our trials, and our hearts are breaking, and we wonder why the test when we try to do our best. Job experienced this in his life. What did God say about Job? Just turn back to the book of Job. That's the book, previous book before. Go to chapter 1. And that's what the Holy Ghost wrote about Job, friend, before he ever had this trial. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, and he eschewed evil. That was God's assessment of him. What a man. And you say, well, what would ever bring that man down? A man would never fall. A man would never experience loss. You read the story, friend. Job lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his flocks. He lost his servants. He lost the confidence and the comfort of his wife. He lost his health. Sitting there in a mass of broken wounds and a broken heart. Yes, he knew what it was to fall into trouble. Joseph experienced troubles. Joseph experienced trials. Listen, God gives us a wonderful picture of a godly fellow. When I read the story of Joseph, it has always touched my heart, friend. Because a young man who fell into trouble, fell into prison, not because of his fault, the very opposite, because of his faith. Because he trusted God. And he was sold out by his brothers. And he was cast into an Egyptian prison. He experienced trouble. Yes, good men can be tripped up. Good men can be tripped up by the lusts of the flesh. For the child of God is not without sin. And at times they can fall. David did. David, when he was writing this book, though he fall, David knew he was speaking out of a heart of experience. For David knew he fell. But thank God, whenever God's children falls, God doesn't disown his child. Because thank God there's a provision. We have an advocate with the Father. Even Jesus Christ, the righteous. What a salvation we have. The course of a good man. Though he fall.
Here's the preservation of his course. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Thank God his fall that the devil had planned. My fall that the devil had planned, thank God it won't be final. The devil may cast me to the ground, but thank God he can't keep me there. He hasn't the power to keep me there. Because the Lord upholdeth me with his right hand. Let me tell you, Job fell into deep trouble, but thank God he rose out of it. He didn't end the story in the fall. He didn't end his story in trials and troubles. Thank God he arose in victory. He stood up and God blessed him double. Joseph rose and he stood by the throne of Pharaoh. But the rise, friend, wasn't due to his strength. It was the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. All the glory goes to the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me. Oh, bless his holy name. Thank God I can say, even though the devil trip me up, thank God the Lord will not leave me in the face. The Lord won't leave me there. Standing in the field yesterday, a man came up to me and he reached out his hand. He says, "Well, Brother McRae, how are you?" He says, "I am your brother." And I know this fellow and his brother's sitting in God's house today. He says, "I was away from the Lord for years. But thank God I'm back. And I never was happier. I've got back to the Lord." He fell. But thank God the Lord brought him back. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you have fallen away. You have gone away from God. I want to tell you, the Lord loves you. The Lord hasn't stopped loving you. I love the wee words of Isaiah chapter 41, "Fear not." God tells us there in verse number 10, Isaiah 41 verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And then thank God, not only is the course of a man a good man, is it purposeful and progressive, is it pleasant, is it perilous, is it preserved, but thank God, and we finish with this morning, it is profitable. Look at verse 26, 27, or verse 25, 26 and 7. "I've been young and I am old." I smile at that. Whenever I read that verse, because it's true. Personally, I have been young, but now I'm old. A boy was telling me yesterday morning, he said, he was in a prayer meeting. And he says, "I was sitting in this prayer meeting, and there was this man, and he was 55 years of age. And he said he was sick. And they were praying for him. And he says, this man was praying for him in the prayer meeting. He says, "Lord, would you bless that old man that's not well?" And he says, my ears plucked up, because he says, "I was more than 55. And I didn't think I was an old man." And he says, "Lord, would you bless that old man? He's not well. He was 55. Well, there's no use our kidding ourselves. Listen. "I have been young and now I'm old, yet here's the testimony of the psalmist. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his people or his seed begging bread."
My friend, notice the psalmist didn't say, in my experience, I've never seen the righteous afflicted. He didn't say that. He says, I've never seen them left or forsaken, even in their affliction. And you may be afflicted this morning, and you may be going through trials, but I'll tell you this, you'll never be forsaken. Never forsaken, though often cast down. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will never leave thee. Hallelujah. I'm looking back over his life. David was able to say this, I've been young and I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And he puts that in because begging of bread, especially in the Commonwealth of Israel and in the state of the Jews, was a note of utter dereliction. Now let me tell you, my friend, David was making a general observation here. He was not being exclusively specific here when he said this. I have never seen his seed begging bread. I'm sure it would be stated this morning that you have seen people who have, God's people who have been poor. I have. But the verses here are talking of the righteous, charitable man. Because it goes on in verse 26. This person he's speaking of, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. You know, David himself had been a fugitive. David himself had been in want. You read the story, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 21 when he desired and begged bread of Abimelech. But he lived long enough to have a proper perspective. He had never seen the righteous abandoned by God. And any temporary state or shift of fortune had under God been the wise disciplining of God. You know, God has got to sometimes discipline us and bring us to the place of want and to the place of need where we better trust the Lord than we have ever done before. I see the providence of God, friend. But I only see the providence of God bit by bit in process. But when God sets it all together, when God puts the whole plan together, we can say like David, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have not I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. As God's people, we are richly blessed. I love the wee chorus, we are blessed, we are blessed. Every day of our lives, we're blessed. From we wake up in the morning to we lay our heads to rest, we are blessed. Ah, we are richly blessed. May God give us a thankful heart today. And if you're not saved, may God give you a trusting heart and bring you to faith and trust in God's provision of Christ himself at Calvary and the finished work of his cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank thee for thy goodness, thy love, thy mercy, and thy grace. And truly we can say today, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Truly we can say, thy mercies are new every morning. And though at times we fall, thank God we'll not be utterly cast out. The devil won't get the final victory. But thank God he upholdeth us with his right hand. Bless your people today. Encourage us in the work of God. Help us, our God, to take ground in Jesus' name this week. Bless our families. Most of all, bring the last one to Jesus, for Jesus' sake. The people of God said,